Now, that's why the Holy Catholic Church is a holy bunch of junk. A bunch of nonsense. What did Jesus say? Well, he should be under our umbrella. Bring him to me so I can make him part of the organization. This is in direct defiance of that. You don't have to all run together. We don't have to all be together in one big group. In fact, that's dangerous and deadly. It brings about false doctrine. It brings about all kinds of evil. It brings about people trying to burn people, trying to destroy people over the things they see as different. And then a lot of times the people in charge are these dirty, rotten scoundrels who have all kinds of false doctrine. And they're wicked men, greedy men. And they lord it over everyone. And they want to be the masters of the church. They want to, they bring in their false doctrines and their teachings and their wickedness. And they get in charge. The scum always come to the top. And I tell you, that's why we don't need organizations. We don't need Catholic churches. We don't need Protestant churches. We don't need to all get into a group. It's always a dirty business. Jesus doesn't say, oh, he's got to come under our group. We got to be unified in one church. They're already unified. By the works, they're unified. By the gospel, they're unified. They're unified by the things they preach. They don't need to be unified in some earthly organization. Here, I'll put your name in my book. You're part of our organization. Please sign here. It's a bunch of junk. I'll tell you, you know what organization I'm in? I'm written in heaven. My name is written in a book. And God's got my name written down in a book. Paul, this is what he does. Part of my organization. He's in charge of the organization. I'm just in charge of doing his will for what he has commanded me to do. I'm not in charge of organizing everybody else or bringing them all into one. It's a poisonous idea. And Jesus does not give any credence to it at all. This is a direct repudiation of the idea we got to be joined together in one Catholic group. And I mean Catholic with a small C, meaning a universal group of Christians, where we all group ourselves together in a single organizational unit. Bunk. Bunk. Bunch of trash. And many there be that they have offended. And there be many who wear the hat and the collar, who are going to get a millstone hung around their neck and be thrown into the sea, because they've offended so many little ones who believed in God, who believed in Christ, who trusted in the righteousness that they were somehow portraying with their silly little uniforms that they put on. And they're perverse. You know, fondling children. Doing wicked things. In the name of God. Your worm shall never die. Your fire shall never be quenched. But what's that mean? What's that mean? You know, does that mean, what is, of course, here, I'll give you, you want, here's your 11. Here's 11 of the teachings that we have all received, or many of us have, right? What is 11? Well, their worm, that means probably their soul, right? Their soul never dies, and the fire is not quenched. Well, what a lot of people don't realize is that this is a quote from the Old Testament. And let's look at the context of the quote. To understand the meaning, because fortunately it's not that cryptic. Actually, there's a way we can understand what this means. The worm does not die. Does it mean the soul never dies? What does it mean? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22, through the end of the book. Three verses. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain, eternal life. Proclaimed from the Old Testament perspective. And it shall come to pass. Because there it's talking about progeny. But in the gospel it is everlasting life. We know that it is the ultimate reward that our seed shall remain. And our name shall remain. Verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So as time passes, everyone's going to come to worship. And let the flesh, that usually means all the living. You know, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. But that is a mystery revealed in the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, we got to understand this in the force of all the living. And of course, our bodies are going to be raised. This is the new heaven and the new earth. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh. So we see that that is describing the carcasses. That over time, people are going to go out and look at the carcasses. They're going to go up and worship God, and then after they go to worship God, they're going to look at the bodies. The carcasses. That does not really portray hell as tradition, as the doctrine and commandment of men would have us believe, as the leaven of the wicked Catholic Church and the wicked men who shaped that organization would have you believe. Their carcasses. It's a description of death and corruption. The idea of the worm does not die means, like, what could be more torturous than having a worm eat halfway into you and die? There die, and it begins to rot. Oh, the pain. Right? But the idea is of a dead body that has a worm that never dies. So what does the worm that never dies do? It eats everything. It doesn't just eat and then die. It keeps eating and eating and eating. What about the fire that is not quenched? It keeps burning and burning until that there is nothing left to burn. There is nothing left to eat. It doesn't say, it doesn't mean like, you know, they eat and it grows back and it eats more. That's nonsense. That's a bunch of tradition. It's a bunch of leaven. And the fact that you hold that leaven in your mind is corrupting the way you're seeing this verse. Because your mind has been conditioned to look at things in a certain way. You know, when it comes to my point of view on the final state of the wicked, you know, as Paul says, listen to what Paul says. And think about this contradiction. How can it be reconciled? Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 8, right? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is coming, talking about the coming of the Lord. When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Who shall be, and then he talks about those who obey not the gospel, they shall be punished with everlasting destruction. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. They're going to be destroyed out from the presence of God. I mean, they will no longer be in God's presence. That's their perspective. Because from the perspective of everyone else, their carcasses are right there. But their perspective is that they are destroyed forever from his presence. The God is, where is God? This is one of the first questions people learn theologically. God is everywhere, right? Is there any place where you can go to hide from God? Look at Psalm 139, verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit?